We're on Daf Pei Amud Beis, eight lines up from the bottom. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav. This we started yesterday. Lo shanu ela b'ksherim. Aval b'prutzim afilu be'asor namilo. She's not allowed to be alone with 10 men if they're prutzim. And havamaisa votziuha asora b'mita. There was a case in which, as we discussed yesterday, where there were 10 men and they had a kilkul. That's the Hebrew euphemism for an immoral act. And this was a married woman. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef wants to prove that prutzim are not embarrassed one in front of the other. They're not inhibited by the presence of another parutz in the case of sexual immorality. Teda. And I'll prove it to you, he says, Dimechabre be'asara v'ganve kishura. 10 people get together, they join together in a unit, and they steal a very heavy beam because it's too heavy for less than 10 people to carry it. Lo machasvi ma'dodi. And even though they're 10 people, they're not embarrassed one or the other. They join together in sin. And the same thing applies to Znus, to Pritus. They might all get together and decide to do this Avera. Each one is, no one is embarrassed in front of the other. Name of Messiah. Perhaps we could bring a proof to the words of Rav that you can have yichud with a woman in the presence of two men if they are ksherim. And the Mishnah itself seems to support the words of Rav. The Mishnah is in Sota on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The case is a woman, a married woman, had stira, kinui and stira, with a man. Now, she violated her husband's warning and she was alone with a certain particular man. And now we bring it to Yerushalayim and she has to drink from the Mei Sota in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're turning to Pei Amud Beis. Is the Mishnah says, Mosrin lo Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. There will be an escort of two Talmidei Chachamim to bring her to Yerushalayim. Now, it's not just that she has to come to Yerushalayim to drink the Mei Sota, but her husband has to be there too. And he's not allowed to have relations with her after Kini and Stira. So what's the point of these two Talmidei Chachamim? They're there chaperones to inhibit him from having an act with his wife if his Yetzahar gets the best of him. Shalo Yavo Aleha Baderech. And this Isur that's derived in Parshas Naso, in the Parsha of Sota, from the double language Nitma, Echel Lebal V'Echel Leboel, is an Isur Doraisa. And we see that there's a great deal of significance in halacha to preventing a situation where the husband would have relations with his wife, because the Gemara in Sota establishes, based on the pasuk in Naso, it says v'nika ish me avon, that if he does have relations to her, then the Mei Sota will be powerless to check her out. And then keep in mind what happens is that if he had a relationship with her, and then they were mashka, the Mei Sota. Keep in mind that the parsha of Sota, which is written on parchment and placed into the waters, obliterates the name of Hashem that's inscribed on that parsha. As the Torah says, V'kosav es holos ha'elu ha'koin b'seferu mocha el mei hamorim. And the Gemara is now medayek. It says Talmidei Chachamim are given there to escort the couple in. Inshi di Alma, others lo. And the reason for that is Talmidei Chachamim will save or prevent this yichud from leading to an avera, and that would support the position of Rav that the heter of yichud with two men requires two men at a ksherim. So the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, "Shiny Talmidei Chachamim diyade liasruye be." What does this mean? That in the case of Sota, there's an entirely different reason as to why the escort here is two Talmidei Chachamim. And the reason for that is because the Talmidei Chachamim will know how to give a hasra to warn the Baal that he should not let the evil inclination get the best of him and have beer with her. They're going to tell him that the repercussions of his actions are such that the Mayim, the Mesotu, will no longer have power to be Bodek. So it doesn't mean that the requirement of Ksherim here is engendered by the laws of Isur Yichud. Here we have a special requirement because of the Hasra, the nature of the Hasra. In other words, the Musra, in this case it's the Baal, he realizes, he acknowledges that the Talmidei Chachamim know the Din, and they, when they tell him that the repercussions of his actions will be such that he undermines the effectiveness of the Mei Sota, the Musra, the Baal, takes these Edim seriously, takes these Talmidei Chacham seriously. If it was someone else, other than a Talmud Chacham, he wouldn't believe them. And therefore the Hasra would not deter him from the action. So there's no proof really from the Mishnah in Sota regarding the requirement of Ksherim to be Matir the Isur Yichud. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the Mishnah that establishes a heter of one woman with two men, Lo Shanu Ela Be'ir. Not only do we require that these two men be Ksherim, as we established earlier, but it also has to take place in the city. Aval Biderech, but if they're on the road, then Adshiyu Shlosha, we have to jack up the number from two men to three men. And what's the reason for this? Shema Yitztarech Echad Mehem Lahashtin V'nimtza Echad Misyached Ima Erva. If there are only two men, and one will separate himself and go out into the fields in order to relieve himself, then he, the other man, is left alone with this woman who's an erva. So to guarantee that there's no violation of the laws of Yichud, in a case of derech, or out in the fields, in the sadeh, we need an extra man, not two men. That's not going to suffice. You're going to need three men. And the Ramah in Siman Chaf Beis in Eben Ezer, which is dedicated to the laws of Isur Yichud, he codifies the halacha that if two men are with a woman at night, even in the city, we require a third man, and two men are not sufficient. The reason being that perhaps one of them would fall asleep and the other one is left alone with this woman. So just like we saw in the case of Derech or Sada, you jack it up to a requirement of three men, so too at night. The Gaon, the Vilna Gaon in his Biurim on Shulchan Aruch, adds another explanation as to why we need a third man at night. Choshushin, he says, Shami Yitztarech Echad L'Nekavav, because a person might need to go to the washroom, and the other person, if there's only two men, is going to violate the Siyichud. It's not clear why that Chashash only applies at night and not during the day. The Ramah further paskins that a woman is allowed to be alone with two men at night because Hamisyached Choshishem Chavera Misnam Yisorer, because even if his friend would fall asleep at night, nevertheless, if an action would take place, he would wake up. He's not in such a deep, sleep. Now, the Gemara uses the term erva here. However, the poskim say that even in the case of a pnuya, where we require a third man, baderech, this halachic requirement applies. We don't limit ourselves to an erva, even though the iser of yichu with an erva, which is derived, as we saw from the parasha of Mesis, is doraisa with an erva, and only derabanan with a pnuya. Nevertheless, the laws are identical. And not only that, stam pnuya in our time is considered an erva, because she's bechezkas nida after the age of 12, or a little bit above the age of 12. The Gemara says, Nema Misayele. Again, we go back to the Mishnah in Sota and present it as a proof to establish what Rav said. Mosrim lo shnei tamini chachomim shemiyovo aleha baderech. And the Gemara is now medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah Trei v'Ihu. It means, in addition to the husband, we require two Talmidei Chacham as an escort. Hatlasa, that means she's alone with three men. Why does the Mishnah require three men? And the answer has to be because, as the Mishnah says, Baderech, they're outside the city limits, and there the requirement of three men applies. The Gemara says, no. Hasam, again, the reason for that is, in the case of Sota, we need two Talmidei Chachamim. Has nothing to do with the chashash to guarantee that he won't have relations with her, but rather ki hechi dinehevu alei sahadi. It's going to be crucial for the Bezdin to invoke the testimony of two witnesses to the fact that they saw a relationship between the husband and his wife, and therefore they're going to undermine the mitzvah. They're going to cancel the mitzvah of Hashkas Mei Sota because of the Mechika Hashem Shamayim Levatola. We cannot obliterate the name of God if this process is not going to be effective. But it's not as if the two Talmidei Chacham, the extra one, the second, is added for the purpose of removing Yichud. It's there for the purpose of testimony. The Gemara now tells us a story that's relevant to the laws of Yichud with Ksherim. Rav v'Rav Yehuda hava ka'azli bi'orcha. Rav and Rav Yehuda were on their way. Hava ka'azla hahi isasa kamayhu. And they saw a woman coming towards them in front of them. Omale Rav, the Rav Yehuda, Rav turns to Rav Yehuda and he says, Dal kar'eich mikamigena. Let's move away very fast and pass this woman, and we shouldn't walk behind her, because if we do, we're going to chas v'shalom violate Navera, and we'll burn for that in purgatory. Avale Rav Yehuda returns to Rav, and he says, "V'amar hu d'yom v'ksherim shapir dami." You yourself, Rav, paskin that a woman is allowed to be alone with two men as long as they are ksherim. So why do we have to run away from this woman? Amale Rav responded, Mi yemer de biksherim kagona no viat. Who says that what I had in mind was ksherim like me and you, that if you and I are alone with a woman, that's okay. Ela kagon mai. So what perhaps is the level of ksherim, of kashrus required to be matir isu yichud in case of one woman and two men? Kigon Rabbi Chanina bar Papi v'chaverov. Now, the chaverim of Rav Chanina and Bar Papi are Rabbi Tzadok and Rav Kahana. And the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi was able to overcome his Yetzahara. If you call, we learned this back on Daf Lamed Tesam and Beis, time for review. And a woman, a matronis, demanded a relationship, a sexual act with Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. And what happened was, Rabbi Chanina's body turned to Shechin, and he was able to run away. The Gemara on Daf Mem tells us a similar story about Rabbi Tzadik, who ran away from an aver with a woman, and he actually went into an oven. And Rav Kahana, a woman, demanded a relationship with him, and in order to save himself from her, he jumped off a roof. Elio grabbed him and saved him on the way down. So we see that the level of ksherim here required is that of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi and Rabbi Tzadok and Rav Kahana. In fact, the Rambam paskins lechumra in Perek Chav Beis Isur Bia, that a woman is not allowed to be alone with two men. And the Ran explains and justifies the Rambam that our people, our men, bistama, are not becheskas ksherim. The Rambam is not going to give a halacha of ksherim that doesn't have any practical application. The Mishnah Melech is of the opinion that the Shitas Rambam, that yichud with ksherim is prohibited, is only a chumrah, but a person should be machmir, just as Rav was machmir on himself. But mikra din, there's no iser of one woman with two men if they ksherim. The Rif, on the other hand, writes that stam shnei anoshim, two regular rank and file people, if they're enom prutzim, if we have reason to assume they're stam, they're rank and file, they're honest, but they are those who are morally sound and committed to the laws of Jewish ethics, is then, since they're not prutzim, mutul siyachinim aisha. And that's Tosfos' opinion. The Ramban and also other Rishonim say that Rav was machmir on himself, mibidas chasidus, and therefore the halacha lemaisa, for normative halacha, we can be matir, we can be mekil, and permit one man, one woman with two men, as long as they're ksherim. Omar Rav, we go back to the Gemara, and we're still talking about the laws of Yichud. Malkin al yichud v'ein osrin al yichud. If a person violates the law of yichud, heaven forbid, then we give him malchus. But if, let's say, a married woman was alone with a man, then we don't assume that she had beer with that man, but rather we assume she did not. And the implication here is that she's allowed to resume her marriage relationship with her husband, even though, again, she violated the Isur Yichud. And that's what it means when it says Ein Osrin Ala Yichud. We don't prohibit a husband from resuming his relationship with his wife because she violated the Isur Yichud and we assume that she had bia. That we don't say. Now, Tosfos, Dibra Maskel Malkin, speaks about a pnuya, an unmarried woman who had yichud, and ein osrin al yichud means that we don't prohibit her from marrying a kohen under the law of zona. Whereas the other Rishonim assume that we're talking about an Eishes Ish, and we're not going to Asar al Baila. We have the sheet of Tosis that we're talking about a Pnuya, and we don't Asar her to Kuhuna. Truth be told, that even if we accept the Rishonim that we're talking here in the context of the statement of Rav about an Eishes Ish, it's also relevant to Kuhuna, because if her husband dies, the question is she allowed to marry a Kohen as an Almana? Additionally, if we would assume that when she violated, this married woman violated the Issa Yichud, she had relations with that man, that would generate not only an Issa al Baila, but also an Issa on the Boel, which means that after her husband divorces her, or after he dies, she would not be allowed to marry that person that she had yichud with. But the answer is ein oser al yichud, and that isur doesn't apply as well. And the reasoning in all these cases is to avoid laws. There'll be bad rumors spread about her children that they're mamzerim, and that we're not going to do. The Nesivos, in his commentary on Masechta Ksuvos called the Beis Yaakov, he writes that the Chiddush, the main Chiddush of Rav, is referring to the Boel. Because in the Boel case, she should be Asura al Baal, that there, with regard to the Baal, we know that the Torah only asks her al Baila because there was Kinui and Stira. Here there was no Kinui. The Chiddush of Rav is that she's not Asura on the Boel. Amar of Ashi, Lo Amoron, when do we say that we give Malkus for violation of the Issa Yichud? Ella be Yichud Pnuya. We'll only give this punishment if he violated the Issa Yichud with a Pnuya, an unmarried woman. I will be Yichud Deishas Ish Lo. And why? Shalote motzi laz al bonet. If we were to give Malkus in the case of Yichud with a married woman, then the word would get around that maybe she had Znus and her children are Mamzerim. And even though people should realize that if they only gave Malkus, obviously she did not, Beis Din is not judging her as an adulteress, because then she would get Misa. But nevertheless, if there's no possibility of Beis Din to put her to death, then the fallback position in that case was Malkus. And the word might spread around, and the misunderstanding that the Malkus was given here to replace Misa, but the Beis Din really believed and clarify that she had such an adulterous relationship. And that would create a laws on the mamzerim, on the children as mamzerim. Therefore, we're going to leave out Malkus in this case of a married woman. And the poskim write, the Ritva says it here, that halach applies even if she has no children. Because who knows, maybe there'll be laws on children that she'll have down the line in the future, saying that this is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of woman who had an adulterous relationship. Or maybe they don't, you know, people don't realize that she wasn't pregnant at the time, but just a short time later she became pregnant. And the Torah paskins that we don't give Malkus neither to the woman, the Eishes Ish, nor to the man that she had Yichud with, because that also would create laws. However, some of the later posts in the Amshel Shlomo are of the opinion that we can in fact give Malkus to the person who had Yichud, because that's not going to create laws. Nobody knows which woman he had Yichud with. In the case of the Eishes Ish, if we give her Malkus, then everybody assumes that, or might assume that she had Bia, and that's laws on the Bonim Amzerim. But in the case of the Boel, of the Mesiached, nobody knows who he had Yichud with. That's not public knowledge. So we can give him Malkus. As I said before, the Torah says there's no Malkus at all in this case. in the next piece of Gemara, Mar Zutra Malki Umachris. Mar Zutra was very harsh, and even in the case of an Eishes Ish, if she violated the Isra Yichud, he would subject her to Malkus. Aye, what about the Laz Albanel? People are going to say that her children are Mamzerim. Machris, he would detonate that bomb by making a declaration that these Malkus are being given only for the violation of the Isra Yichud. Now, in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, we give Malkus for Yichud Pnuya, and there too, Machrizin Olela, we make the same declaration that she is getting Malkus because she violated the Isra Yichud. So it's interesting that this Achroza that we learned about here in Mar Zutra applies even in the case of Pnuya. What's the logic for that? What's the necessity? And the answer is that if people will think that she was Mizana, well, that's a terrible thing. And they might say that she's Asura on Kohanim, etc., etc. And the Aruch HaShulchan has a very strange approach here to this halacha, and he wants to say that Achrazan HaPnuya is Adarav, is part of the punishment. It's not that we're protecting her and her reputation, but just the opposite. We want to punish her even more severely by letting everyone know that she violated the Isra Yichud. The Gemara tells us, Amalei Rav Nachman Nifarhatya L'Rav Ashi Mar Nami Lilki V'Lichris. Why do you, Rav Ashi, say that we're not going to give Malkus? Why don't we follow the pattern of Mar Zutra and we'll make this Achrozen, that'll avoid the problem of Laz? Amalei Rav Ashi responded to Rav Nachman, I'm always afraid of Laz. Why? Ika Deshama Beha V'Lo Shama Beha. There are those who understood, they got the word that she got Malkus, they didn't hear the Achrozah. They're going to think that in fact the Malkus was meted out because she violated this Isra Shasish. Omar Rav says, and this is a little bit off the beaten path here of Asugya, Malkin al lo tova hashmua. You're talking about Malkus? We can even give Malkus for a kol, some sort of a rumor, that's called a shmua, that about a person, that person was violating averos. In other words, there's reglayim ledover, there's some sort of circumstantial evidence that continues to generate a rumor that this person is a bala averos, and I assume this means he's involved in a kind of immoral lifestyle, and we give him Malkus. This Malkus is what we call Makas Mardus. The Rambam's language in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek of Dalet is Mevazim es Misha Shmuaso Ra'a Umekalin es Yoldoso Befonov. The Rambam has harsh punishments for someone who has a bad reputation. See how important the reputation is in Halacha. The Amshel Shlomo, the Marshal, says that Bizman HaZeh, in our time, we don't have the minig of giving Malkus for Shmur Ra. But what we do is, Gorim Benizifa, you know, we tell him this is very bad, you better watch it. Umahaimim Olav, we give him a threat. And he points out that we today don't have, you know, living amongst the nations of the world, we don't have the authority, the possibility of giving Malkus and meeting out these corporeal punishments. After all, Dina the Malchus Dina, there's the law of the land. Also, if we start meeting out punishments, who knows if the relatives of that person might come as, you know, mafiosos and beat us up. It's a real dangerous situation. Now, Rav derives this halacha of Malkin Alotova Shmua from a Pasuk Shenemar, Pasuk in Tanakh, with regard to Eliyahu Kohen, who gave a rebuke to his sons because there was a terrible reputation going out, spreading around about the Bnei Eli, that they had relations with a married woman. And he said, Albanai Kilo Tova Shmua. And Albanai says that they violated an Isser by doing things that engender a bad reputation. You know, we say in English, when there's smoke, there's fire. So the children of Eli, they're called Chofni Pinchas, who were working in the Mishkan in Shiloh, and they did not bring the karbonos of Yoldos immediately. They delayed it. And this was important, to bring these karbonos so that the process of Tara in the aftermath of Tumas later would be complete, and these women could go back to their husbands. Eliyahu Kohen, the father, warned them that they should not delay with these karbonos. And he says that as long as you delay the karbonos and postpone the process of purification such that these women could return to their husbands, it's ki'ilu, it's considered an avera of the likes of which of bo al anoshim elu, as if you had relationships with these women. So that was the very harsh castigation of Eli to his sons. The Gemara tells us, Mar Zutra, at the time that he would give Malkus Alotova Shmua, Mosiv La Afsera Al Kasfe. He would take the Afsar, the yoke of the animal, Al Kote Faloke, and he would place it down on the shoulders of he who received the Malkus. And the reason for this we'll see in just a moment. Umakrile, and he would declare Al Bonai, the same two words that we saw in the pasuk of Eliyahu Kohen in Shmuel. Now the use of this afsar is Shebozeh Chosmin as Behema Sheisker Roim. Right, this is the part you put on the animal's head to rein in the animal, make sure that it doesn't go off the right path. And Mar Zutra was alluding, sending a subliminal message to this person that he shouldn't be sote min aderech. Also, the Gemara at the end of Malkus establishes that Malkus, the 40 lashes, are given with a Ritzua Shal Egel, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Yodah Shor Koneu V'chamor Avus Ba'alav. And that Avus Ba'alav is the same as the Afsa Shal Behema that's referred to here. Now we get back to the laws of Yichud. Omar Rabba, Baila Ba'ir, if a married woman's husband is within the city limits, Ein Choshem Mishum Yichud. And here we have Machlokes. The understanding of most Rishonim is that in the case of Baal Ba'ir, there's a Heter Yichud, and that's how we paskin in not only the Rambam, but also the Shulchan Aruch. Again, as we said before, Ebenezer Siman Chaf Beis, that's a Siman dedicated to Yichud. Rashi, on the other hand, says that if a married woman has yichud with a man when her husband is in the city, then eino loke. And Tosus learns from Rashi that it's not that Rav is being mater yichud with an eishes isha baila be'ir. He's just being lenient with regard to the punishment. However, why is this, even according to Rashi, a more lenient level of yichud? And Rashi explains, because Choshesh Shabaila Yova, she thinks that her husband's going to come, he's going to show up at any minute, and therefore we're not really worried about Navera. You know, this splits up Yichud really into its two dimensions. We once had a whole long shir on this. is yichud just a gzeirah because we're worried about bia, or is yichud asur per se in and of itself? It's objectionable. And Rashi seems to be saying that if you have A plus B, it's an iser chamur, it's a more serious and stringent violation of the iser yichud. If you have only B and not A, meaning if you remove the chashash bia because it's bial b'iri, might come any minute and that inhibits her, then you're left just with simply the iser yichud as an iser per se. That's already on a lower level, and we're going to be more lenient in terms of the punishment. Now the post can point out that Baila Be'ir only applies if she's at home, or at least if she's in a place where her husband knows exactly where she is. If she's somewhere hidden in a private basement somewhere with a man, and her husband has no clue as to where he is, she doesn't have that fear of Baila Be'ir. However, the Chazon Ish, in a very radical halachic position, quoted by the Dvar Halacha, which is a sefer of 200 pages dedicated to the laws of Yichud. It's authored by a Horowitz, that's the brother-in-law of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The Chazon Ish is quoted as to saying that Baila Be'ir is a heter in all situations. There's always Amos Baila Aleh, that Amos Baila Aleh, the fear of a husband, is a psychological state which allows for the heter Yichud in the case of Eishes Ish and Baila Be'ir, regardless of where the husband is, where she is, does he know where she is, does she not know where he is, and so forth and so on. Of course, there's a discussion in the poskim, what exactly is Be'ir? You know, today we have large cities that roll and overlap with other cities. You know, you've got Bergenfield and Teaneck, are those two separate cities? I mean, according to municipality, maybe they are two separate municipalities, but if there's no separation of 70 amos, maybe it's still one continuous city and it would still be Baila Be'ir. And ask yourself the question, you know, you talk about Baila Be'ir in a small city, that's one thing, but what about a city the size of Moscow in Russia? It's a gigantic city, you know, from one end of the city to the other. Los Angeles, other large cities, metropolises, could take hours. So all this has to be taken under advisement. Now we get to the second most important din in Yichud, first being Baila Be'ir. The second one is Omer Rav Yosef, Pesach Pasul, Shusarab Ein Choshev Mishum Yichud. That in a case where a man is alone with a woman, but the door is open into a public area, there's no Issa Yichud. And here we have a Machlok Sachron. According to the Beis Meir, what we need is that the door is absolutely wide open. Anyone passing by will see right through. If, on the other hand, the door is closed, even though it's not locked, there's an Issa Yichud. That's the sheet of the Beis Meir. However, although Rabbi Kiveger agrees with the Beis Meir, the Radbaz, based on a Tshuvas HaRashba, says that if the door is closed but it's not locked, then that's not Yichud. And the Chazon Ish explains, quoted again in the Dvar Halacha, because if the door is not locked, there's going to be a fear that anyone could show up at any time, and that fear is a mitigating circumstance which would deter him from having a relationship with her. The Chabina, the Dov Meshon, went very far. He was not there even if the door is locked, as long as the members of the household have a key and they can open the door at any time. And in certain situations where we really desperately need a heter yichud, like a physician's examination, where the door is locked, but the nurses on the floor have a key and they have access, they can barge in, then we're going to rely on this Chazon Ish lekula. The Tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, again, it's not absolutely clear, but it seems that Rav Moshe was worried about the fact that no one would barge into the door without knocking first. Derech Olam Dofek Aladeles, and you know, that gives the person a little bit of time, you know, to organize himself and how should I say, cover up the evidence. But he writes at the end, Lo Asru Yichud al Makom She'ein Derech Hanoshim Lavo. He says the Isur Yichud would apply in a case of a closed room only if the custom, the local custom, is that you would not barge in if the door is unlocked. The Gemara now tells a story which really in effect contradicts the statement of Rav Yosef. Rav Bibi Ikla Lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Bibi was in the house of Rav Yosef. Basai Dekarach Rifta. They broke bread up in the attic. And then Rav Yosef and his wife went down into the house. Amar Lahu, Rav Yosef told the members of his household, Shkulei Darga Mitusei Bibi. Remove the ladder that's located, that's positioned under Rav Bibi. Rav Bibi is up in the attic and he needs to get down into the house by climbing down the ladder. Remove that ladder. So Rav Bibi would remain, so to speak, incarcerated in the aliyah, in the attic, on the upper floor, and he won't come down, because if he comes down, he'll be alone with my wife. That's what Rav Yosef said. So in order to avoid yichud, we remove the ladder. Again, the poskim want to know what do you gain by removing the ladder? I mean, at any point, you know, the ladder could be returned. So what kind of chashash? You're removing the chashash yichud here by removing the ladder. That's a pella. But be that as it may, leaving that question on the side, the Gemara now asks, V'ha Omar Rabba Baila Ba'ir Ein Choshim Yishum Yichud? Why are you so worried, Rav Yosef? And you have to remove the ladder. After all, if it's Baila Ba'ir, you know, if Yosef is around, so there's no Issa Yichud with an Eishes Ish. Shiny Rav Bibi, the Gemara answers, Rav Bibi is different. To Shushvinte Havi V'gaisei Bei. The concept of Shushvinon is the concept of a close friend. Like you say at a wedding, you talk about the best man. And there was a special intimate friendship, if you will, call it a platonic friendship, but a very strong one, a powerful one, between Bibi and the wife of Rav Yosef. So Rav Bibi is considered libo gasba with regard to the wife of Rav Yosef because of that special relationship. And therefore Rav Yosef would say that in the context of libo gasba, where there's a certain regilus, you know, between he and her, in this case between Rav Bibi and Rav Yosef's wife, they might come to an avera, the law has to be very strict. And the normal heterim don't apply. That's why, in the case of an engaged couple, which is certainly Limo Gaspa, they're going to get married, the laws of Yichud are very, very strict. And especially in Hasidic circles, they're very makpid, that after the engagement, the couple should not be together. No way, no how. They won't see each other again until the chuppah. And this is based on this sugi of Libo Gaspa. It's interesting that they quote the Radal of David Luria saying that even if the husband is a blind person, nevertheless you're allowed to have yichud with his wife if he's in the city. And how does he know this? Because Rav Yosef here was a suma, and apparently there would be no isa yichud with his wife, even though Rav Yosef was blind. If not for the fact that Rav Bibi was libo gaspa, special chumra of libo gaspa Rav Bibi, but other than Rav Bibi, there would be a heter of baila ba'ir, even though he's a suma. And the answer is that a suma could also sense what's going on over here in his house, even if he doesn't see it with his eyes. However, Rav Yaakov Emden rejects this radal, and he says that there's no proof from our sugya, because It could be that this story took place early in Rav Yosef's life, before he became blind. And the Sefer Dvar Halacha and Yichud that we mentioned writes that it's possible that the Radal wants to prove it from the Lashon of the Gemara that Rav Yosef declared Shkulu Darga. He didn't say Nishkal Darga, I will take away the ladder, because he was blind and he couldn't do it himself. The Gemara continues in the laws of Yichud, Omer Rav Kahana, Anoshim Mibachutz, Venoshim Mibifnim, Ein Choshin Mishum Yichud. You have two rooms. You have the Mibachutz, that's the outer room, and it has an opening, a door to go out to the street, and there's an inner room. So from the outer room, you go into the inner room. But the inner room has no way of, no exit, except by going out through the outer room. Is in such a case, Ein Choshem Mishum Yichud. It means we're not afraid that if there are men in the outer room, maybe one of the men will enter into the inner room and have Yichud with women in the inner room. And the reason for that is, since it's assumed, you know, the derech, that people will go from the outer room, excuse me, from the inner room, and exit through the outer room, darkon shal anoshim lotzeis l'chutz, is therefore, we can assume that since the men are located in the outer room in this case, anoshim yibachutz, the language of Kahana, the women are bifnim. So as is, in the cousin situation, there's no yichud. There's a group of men here and a group of women there. The men are on the outer room, the women are a group of women on the inner room. So what is Rav Kahana's chiddush here of Ein Choshim Mishum Yichud? Means we're not going to say that in this current situation we should already get nervous and anxiously, in anxiety, we should prohibit the situation as it is before it gets out of hand. And maybe one of the men is going to go into the inner room and be alone with the women. Again, you'd have to ask how many women there are. But in any event, generally speaking, the traffic flows towards the exit. So there's no reason to assume that a man is going to take a situation which is not yichud and b'mo yodav, you know, actively create yichud by going in to be with the women. Now, you might say, but wait a minute, why shouldn't we be afraid that one of the women might go out to the chitzoni, to the outer chamber, and that would be yichud? But the answer is, there are a number of men there. So it's one woman with two men, or three men, whatever the number is. Oh. But let's now switch it around. Anoshim yibifnim, the men are on the inside, v'noshim yibachutz, and once again the traffic flows towards the exit. Is this choshim mishum yichud? Here, says Rav Kahana, we're worried about the fact that a man, one of the men, will want to go out. He has only one way out. He's got to go through the outer chamber, and then he'll be alone with women. Now, how many women are in the outer chamber? If there are three women in the outer chamber, then according to Rashi and other Rishonim, there's no Issa Yichud, then the Gemara must be talking about a case where there's only two women in the outer chamber. There are exceptions where a man is not allowed to be alone with three women, and that's going to be the case of Adam She'asokov Im HaNoshim, like a cosmetician. But be that as it may, here we're talking about a situation where if a man were to leave, to exit, and he goes through the outer chamber, and he would violate the Isur Yichud, then we have to object, says Rav Kahana, even to the present situation where the men are in the inner chamber and the women in the outer chamber. In other words, right now there's no Yichud, but it might lead to Yichud. And this touches on the whole question of the poskim about a man and a woman driving in a car, even in a public road, that maybe he would veer off from the road and he'll be alone with her in the car. When do we have to worry that the situation now is prohibited because it could lead to yichud? Here it's a very unique case, very limited, because there's no way out except for you to go out through the women. This may also have relevance to situations of beaches. You know, there's separate beach for men, separate for women, but the men have to go out through the women's beach and stuff, many, many different scenarios. The Gemara now brings a braisa that seems to contradict Rav Kahana. B'masnisa tana ibcha. In our braisa, it says just the opposite. That if the men are in the outer chamber and the women are in the inner chamber, then there is a chashash yichud, because we're afraid that one of the men might go into the inner chamber where the women are and violate the issur yichud. And maybe the other men that are with him in the outer chamber will not realize that he checked out. But if on the other hand the men are located on the inner chamber and the women on the outer chamber, that's not a chashash yichud. Why? Because there's no Isur Yichud if one of these women will go into the inner chamber with a group of men, because one woman with many men is permissible. And even if one of the men will go out to the Chitzoni, where the women are located, he's going to be afraid that another man will follow suit, and he'll be inhibited by that fear. So that's the sheet of the braisa. Omar Abaye, Hashad Yom Rav Kahana Hachi. But now the Rav Kahana has established that if the men are in the outer chamber, the women are in the inner chamber, there's no chashash mishum yichud. But on the contrary, when the men are in the inner chamber, the women are in the outer chamber, then it's also mishum yichud. V'tonam asnisa ibcha. But we have on the other hand the braisa that switches it around the other way around. Anot navid l'chumra. We have to be machmir in both cases. Whether or not the men are in the outer chamber, which according to the braisa is a problem. Again, according to Rav Kahana, if the men are in the outer chamber, that's no problem. Bain, and whether or not the men are in the inner chamber, which is the problem according to Rav Kahana, but not according to the Braisa, we're always going to be machmir. Even though, as we said before, the Rashba maintains that one man with two women is only an Issur Rabbanon, so why not apply the principle of Safek Derabbanon Lekula? Here we're going to be machmir. We're not going to apply the principle of Safek Derabbanon Lekula. Why? Because if we apply Safek Derabbanon Lekula in both situations, then the entire din will be completely undermined. There'll be no situation which is us. So we can't be making in both situations. That'll lead us to a dead end. And therefore, L'chumra. The Gemara now brings different minhagim of the various Amoraim who try to avoid any situation of mixing men and women together. And this took place at the time of weddings, of chuppahs, or when there were drashos, public gatherings. Abaye doyer gulfi. Abaye used to organize the rows of men and women in such a way that the men didn't have to pass through the women. Rava dayer kana. So whereas Abaye utilized kankanim, gulfe is kankanim. Kankanim are barrels that if you pass through the barrels, you know, it makes a noise. Rav, on the other hand, would use kane. Kane is like reeds. And therefore, again, if you know you have reeds going up and down, if a person want to go from one section to the other, then there would be a noise that comes from shaking these reeds. And in both cases, this would inhibit men from passing into the women. Omar Ovin, Sakva Deshata Rigla. What does Sakva mean? Sakva is Chulshasa, the weakness. There's a weakness, Rigla. Rigla means at the time of the regular Shlosh Sugal Mechag. And why is that? Because that's when men and women would come together to hear the drush of the Rav, and they would mingle together. They would speak together. They would look at each other. Rashi and Tosus interpret that during the regal they would eat together, drink together, they would hoopla, and there was more of a chashash during the regal than during the rest of the year. There was a certain kalus rush, an attitude, a laid back attitude that could lead to some sort of a violation of the laws of morality, of the laws of tznius. And therefore precautions have to be taken. So the weakest time of the year, the most vulnerable for these kinds of mixtures and minglings, is dafka teregel. That's the paradox here. Tosfos has an interesting insight. He says there's a minhag to fast after Pesach, after Sukkot, which is like what we call Bahav. And the reason for this is that during the Chag, there were averus that were violated when men and women mixed together. And for that, they have to fast. The Beis Yosef writes in Tovchav Test that after Shavuos, there's no fast. Shavuos is only one day, and it's not Shchiach that there's such a great simcha that men and women are going to get carried away. And there's no chashash of chet. Fine. Now the Gemara tells a story about the power of the Yetzer Hara in the area of Taiva. And Hanach Shvuyasa de Asai, there were Shvuyos, there were captive women that were taken captive, and they were brought to Nardoi, the Nardoi. Askinu Levei Rav Amram Chasida. And they brought these women up to the Alios, to the higher, the rooftops of the house of Rav Amram Chasida. Rav Amram Chasida commanded that we have to get involved in Pinyon Shvuyim, and we have to gather together the funds to redeem them. So now that they were redeemed, they were brought up to Rav Amram's rooftop, and Ishkulu Dargo Mikamayu, they removed the ladder that would allow a man to climb up to these women who are on the higher floor. And Bahadi de Kacholfa Chadaminayu, when one of these Shvuyos passed through the opening of the Aliyah, Nafal Nahora Biifuma, a very intense light streamed into this house through the opening to this Aliyah, because she opened up the opening. And Panel Hayu Meirim Mirov Yafya, she was so beautiful that when the light came radiated out of her face, and when she saw that, is Shakle Rav Amram Lidarga, Rav Amram took the ladder, it was so heavy that it would take 10 people to lift that ladder, Dalia Lechude, he picked it up by himself. He had such a taiva, such a desire, lust, that he got these supernatural powers, so to speak, you know, the adrenaline, to carry the ladder, Solik V'Ozil, and he climbed up the ladder. He wanted to have a relationship with this Shvuya, with this captured woman. Kimotel Apalga Darga, when he reached halfway up the ladder, Ifsach, he stopped. He held on to his feet in order to try to overcome his Yetzahara. Rama Kola, and he started screaming, Nura Be Amram. There's a fire that broke out in the house of Amram. He was hoping that people would hear it and they would come to put out the fire. And in his humiliation, he would be able to overcome his Yetzahara and he wouldn't violate the Avera. When they heard his screaming, Asur Abanon, the Chachamim came and they wanted to put out the fire. But they saw that there was no fire. And they began to understand that he had done this in order to avoid an Avera. Omrule, they said, the Rabbanan said to Rav Amram, Kaseftinon. In other words, you embarrassed us, because they're going to say publicly, the word is going to get out, that Talmidei Chachamim have a terrible taiva for an Avera. It's a scandal. Omrulehu, Rav Amram said to Chachamim, Mutav tichasfu Be Amram Bi Alma Hadain Lotis Khasfu Mine Li Alma Diasi.
Rav Amram responded to the Chachamim that it's preferable that you be embarrassed in this world, and that there won't be any violations of Averis in this world in such a way that there'll be an embarrassment in the world to come. In the wake, in the aftermath of this story, when Rav Amram began to appreciate that the Yetzer Hara could bring even a tzaddik of his caliber to such a level, to such an avera, Ashbe'e, he imposed an oath on the Yetzer Hara to yinpak minei, that he should get away from him. It's like taking a dibuk out of him. And nofak minei, the Yetzer Hara went out, and it appeared to Rav Amram ki amuda dinora, tenura, like a pillar of fire. Omalei, Rav Amram has this kaviyochel, this dialogue with the Yetzer Hara, and he says, Chazi, take a look. Di'at nura v'ano bisra. You're made of fire, and I'm made of flesh. V'ano adift minach. And despite that, in other words, man is called basar because, you know, when the taiva, the Yetzer Hara, gets the best of him, he's flesh. Yet I can overcome you. I won you. I beat you. I defeated you. And even though fire usually burns flesh, but nevertheless, I succeeded in succumbing you. So there's a tremendous sense of accomplishment on the part of Rav Amram. Gova libo b'darkei Hashem. The Gemara tells another mice of the Yetzer Hara of Fataiva. Rabbi Meir havi mislotzeitz b'ovrei avera. Rabbi Meir made fun of those people who couldn't overcome their taiva, the Yetzer Hara. And he always would say, you know what, if they wanted to, they could overcome their taiva, the Yetzer Hara. Yom Echad, but on one day, idmi le satan ki issa. The satan, the Yetzer Hara, appeared to him as a woman. Behach gisa dinara. And she stood on the other side of the river, v'lavi mavra, and there was no raft or boat to take him to the other side. Nokat mitzra v'kava. Rabbi Meir took hold of a piece of rope that was stretched between the two sides of the river, and he began to pull on the rope in order to get to the other side, because he wanted to have a relationship with this woman. Now again, it wasn't a woman. Kimata palga mitzra. When he reached halfway across the river, shavke, the Yetzer Hara let go of him, and he no longer, Rabbi no longer was suffering from the powers of the Yetzer Hara, the allurement. Omar, so the sultan turns to Amir, ilav to kamachr ze birkia. If not for the fact that up in Shamayim they let out a clarion call, a declaration, Izaru b'Rabbi Meir v'Torasa, be careful about Rabbi Meir. Is if not for that, I wouldn't let you go. V'shavisei l'domach tarti moi. And I would cause that you would be worth two mos kesef. In other words, I would succeed in tripping you, in making you fall in that avera, and you wouldn't be worth what you are worth today. But it's only because in Shamayim they said to me, let go. So Rabbi Meir learned the hard way that he shouldn't be mezalzel in those who cannot overcome the Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Akiva, stories of Rabbi Akiva, he too made light of the fact that people couldn't overcome the Yetzer Hara. Yom Echad, on one case, in Mile Satan be'issa bereish dikla, the Satan appeared to him as a woman who was on the top of a palm tree. Nakte l'dikle, he held on to the tree. V'kasolik v'yazil, and he started climbing up the tree in order to reach this, what he thought was a woman. Kimatal palki tikla, he got up half the way. Shavke, the Yitzhara, let him go. Omar, the Sultan, says to Rabbi Akiva, he loved the Machrezei Berakiya, if not for the fact that they declared up in Raki, Zaru, Rabbi Akiva, Visoraso, is then, Shivise Lidomach, Tarti Moy, I would have made you worth two mos of Kesef. I would have succeeded in tripping you up in this Avera. The Gemara tells another story about the Satan and the Yetzirah. Plimo, one of the Amoraim, Avi Rogil, and Meimar, Kol Yomi, used to declare on a daily basis, Gira b'enei de Satan. Let the arrows go into the eyes of the Satan to nullify him. And he would declare this in order to somehow push away the Satan. Yom Echadon, one day, Maile Yom de Kippur, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Idmile Ke'anya, the Satan appeared to Plimo in the guise of a poor person. Asa Kara Abava, the Ani, this poor person, was knocking on the door asking for tztoka, Afikule Rifta, and the people, the members of the household, brought him bread to eat. Omar Le, the Satan, said to Plimo, Yoma Ki Ha'idna, a day as important as this day of Erev Yom Kippur, Kli Alma Gavoy Vano Ibroi, everyone is eating inside the house and I'm eating outside the house. As he tried to get Plimo to invite him inside, Aile, so Plimi took him inside the house, Vikarivu Le Rifta, and they brought him the bread to eat, but they didn't seat him down with the rest of the family. He was on his own table. Amalei, the Sultan says to Plimo, Yomaki Yedidna, this is such an important day, it's Erev Yom Kippur, Kli Alma Atacha Vanola Chudai, everyone's sitting around the table and I sit alone. As you, they brought him Osvu Atacha, and they sat him down on the table with all the rest of the family members. Havi Yosef Mile Nafshe Shichna V'chive Ale, he made himself full of shchin and petzayim, full of ugly blemishes on his body and pus and so forth. And he did other things that were absolutely repulsive and disgusting. Amrule, the members of the household turned to the Satan and said to him, and here we're on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, Tiv Shapir, sit quietly, sit with good manners and don't do things that make it absolutely repulsive for us. So the Satan and Amalei turns to them and he says, Havule Kisa, can I have a cup of wine? Yovle Kisa, they poured him a cup. Ichmar, and he starts coughing. Vishadame Kicha, and he took the phlegm in his mouth and he spit it into the cuss. In other words, whatever came out of his lungs, he spit forth into the cup. Nachrube, when the members of the family saw this, they started garubo. They started telling him what a terrible thing he's doing. Is shaku mis? So the Satan made himself as if he was dead. Shamu da'avi ka'amri. The people on the street, the people in the household heard that there were people back in the city, outside in the city on the streets, that were saying, Plimo katal gavra, Plimo katal gavra, Plimo killed a person. Arak, so Plimo ran out as a fugitive. He was afraid that the word would get out to the Malchus, to the Roman government, and they would prosecute him as a murderer. V'tosha nafshe v'sakise, he hid in the outhouse beyond the boundaries of the city limits. Hazal Basre, the Satan, went after him. Nafal Kameh, and he lays down in front of Plimo as if he was a dead body. And Plimo was very upset. Ki dechazyeh dahavi mitztayer, when the Satan saw how Plimo was in such anguish, Golilei nafshe, he revealed himself to Plimo that he is the Satan, he's not a human being. And he says to Plimo, Omar Le, my taima Amar Tachi, why do you always say on a regular basis, Gira b'enei de Satan, let the arrows go into the eyes of the Satan, it's a terrible curse. So please say V'ela hechi ema. So how can I pray? What do you recommend? That you shouldn't have the power to trip me up and cause me to sin? Amalei. The Satan recommended Lema Mar, this is what you should say, Rahmana Nigar Be Basatan. Pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should somehow be Goer Basatan. You know, this isn't a klala. You shouldn't curse me, says the Yetzirah. Even tzaddikim are allowed to say these words, Rahmana Nigar Be Satan. The pasuk itself in Zechariah Novi says, Yigar Hashem Becha Satan. And many people who read Tanakh will often read this pasuk. And if it's a pasuk in Tanakh, then I cannot, the Yetzirah says, I cannot be makbid against you. And also the Ga'ara here is not a klola on the very existence of the Satan, but rather it's a way of preventing the Satan from bimizgara with us, from causing us to fall. Okay, Rabbi Osai, there's a lot more here, but in Yitz Hashem, we'll continue here on Pei Aleph Amud Beis in the next year.